With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
His name is Wes Drewham. As Carl's having some issues with his service out there, we're going to get that fixed. But meanwhile, Wes does join us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Does a great job doing ACC radio and TV. What's going on, superstar?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Good, brother. Tough news as we now hear it's official with the Big Ten and now Pac-12 as reports are coming down. What do you make of this, Wes?
Oh, Mike, I think that, in June, we had all hoped that if there was going to be teams in schools that didn't feel comfortable playing or that their resources weren't going to allow them to test the right way, that, you know, it might be Power 5. The Power 5 would be excluded, right? I mean, these commissioners had all seemed to be working, as continuous as possible, with Jack Swarbrick, the AD of Notre Dame, being the sixth guy at the table. And, you know, in June, I felt like that we were probably doing the right things as a country and the numbers were skewing the right ways. And then when things got a little balky, mid to late June and then carried into July, I think there was real concern about, you know, certain states in the country. And that's everybody I talked to beyond the ACC and within the league was concerned that, you know, what if somebody started to lean as to not to play, right? And I think the Big Ten was the first in the water to say we're not going to play non-conference games, and then the Pac-12, who traditionally has followed the Big Ten in a lot of things, went right behind them. And then all of a sudden that put the onus on kind of where the other three leagues were going to go. I think it's important to know that in the last couple of weeks, every indication I've gotten from ACC and people that follow the SEC and so forth is that these task force that have been created by the conferences themselves, which they tried to feature the best medical people they have on each of the institution's campuses, have really started to have a lot of input in this. And that certainly is the case in the Big Ten. The other scenario playing in the Big Ten is that Kevin Warren is the brand new commissioner of the Big Ten, who came over after spending many years with the Vikings in the National Football League. He's 8 months into his administration, and the presidents and chancellors in the Big Ten, knowing that Kevin's platform, his biggest platform as commissioner of the Big Ten, is student welfare, the presidents and chancellors are all about student welfare. And as you've seen in the last 48 hours since over the weekend, there's a lot of concern in the Big Ten about myocarditis and some of the things that could develop post COVID-19, along with some of the hot spots in that footprint. The thing we're getting to, and you guys, I heard Carl mention the Pac-12 if the Big Ten went, the Pac-12 is just going to follow. Right. And there are a lot of underlying issues with the Pac-12 from a financial standpoint at this point too. Not to mention you've got two states that are going to have real quarantine issues, Arizona and California, so it'd be hard to play. But the Pac-12 was also reported by the folks in Portland was going to have to take a $64.5 million line of credit to play. Okay, so we've got all sorts of scenarios, and as I told several people this summer, the cards have all been flipped over on the table, and people have gotten a deep look behind the curtain now at the world of college athletics to see just how fine a line some of these institutions and conferences are working. I'm not surprised at the first two, but, you know, the interesting part of it is, and you guys, I heard yesterday as I was driving back into town, I heard you guys talking about it. Now you're starting to see where, like, the ACC, the SEC, and the Big 12 are going to have to make this hard decision, too. And the decision to go or not go is a very, very complex and difficult decision. Well, Carl, I think the campaign of student athletes is just beginning. I think, you know, look, a lot of things have happened in the pandemic that have, you know, are going to change the way we live our lives as, you know, people in this country going forward. Well, it's also certainly going to change the way college athletics is portrayed, right? But, I mean, some of the stuff that the Pac-12, you know, the student-athletes in the Pac-12 went with a couple of weeks ago, some of that stuff is spot on. Some of that stuff's crazy. I mean, 50% of revenue to be dispersed back among student-athletes, well, you know, I don't know how the economics work in the Pac-12, but I feel fairly confident that 50% of the revenue would put the league out of business, right?
That's right. Right.
I mean, so you can't expect 50% of the revenue. Now, you can ask for 50 and hope you get 10 or whatever, but some of the things that I thought they were spot on with, like, you know, post-career health insurance. Look, it's no different at the collegiate level than it is at the NFL level. You just don't hear about it collegiately of kids who finish their athletic careers, graduate with a degree, and then they have to go find a job so that they can continue to receive health insurance, right? So, you know, I think some of that stuff is attainable, but, you know, the splitting of the revenue, that's not. That's, you know, look, we go through professional sports labor situations where they don't get 50%, so I thought 50% was a little out over their skis. I do believe that student-athletes are empowered now in a way, Carl and Mike, they've never been empowered before. And I think some of it dates back to, you know, the George Floyd situation, Black Lives Matter, the Marvin Wilson situation at Florida State. I think the, you know, things that you've seen happen in both the ACC, SEC, and other leagues around this country, I think it's important student athletes have a voice. And the fact that the social movement is being, you know, really keyed by 18 to 35, I think is really something that student athletes have embraced. And I can tell you that the We Want to Play thing that happened over the weekend, that was calculated and orchestrated by the premier college football players in the country. And the fact that one league today has chosen not to play, there's going to be some ramifications from that. What they are, I don't know. That's why, you know, as I've said before, this thing's just been a moving target now, really, since about mid-June. And I suspect it's going to be a moving target till we put a, you know, ball on a tee and kick it for real at some point this fall.
It is Wes Durham, and that's right, Durham, not Drewham, and he joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline with ACC Network, radio TV star. And Wes, you know, we talked about if SEC and ACC play, media is going to kill them. We know where that's coming. Those guys are just circling around with sharpening the knives, or it's the money grab. But the TV networks would broadcast it.
Yep.
If you can get, I've always said, why can't they get some kind of, I don't know, call me crazy, why can't they front a loan to do the things protocol-wise to truly, not a bubble, but close to a bubble for their athletes?
Well, I don't, Mike, the bubble situation that the NBA is doing and that MLS has also had some success with outside of, what, Dallas, I guess, and another franchise, right? I guess, you know, those certainly are nice on paper. I just talked to somebody that left the NBA bubble yesterday who's going back in 2 more weeks to work. And the NBA, you guys know that's over $100 million to get that done? I mean, you know, there's not $100 million lying around now to get college football into a bubble. But, again, stranger things have happened. I think college football is really learning a lot from the misgivings of baseball and the way the NFL has started. And I think that's important. That's why I think the thing you are going to hear probably in the next 48 hours is why did the Big Ten, who released the schedule last week, make the decision today? And I think that's the thing that's really going to be scrutinized more than anything else. Look, I think there are certain people that think the ACC and the SEC are going to play and going to try and play, and then if problems break, then they'll shut it down. And I just don't think the bubble is, you can do a lot of things on a college campus. We ran cuts from coaches and players this morning on our show where, you know, they're talking about trying to do all the safety protocols and processes that each institution is set up and each league is set up. And I really do believe that's honestly the best approach until you get the full enrollment back on campus. And there are a lot of coaches that have told me from the ACC in the last 2 weeks, their biggest concern is the introduction of the general population back onto the college campuses and what that looks like for their respective teams 2 weeks later. Because that's going to be the real test, I think, guys, is the value and the, you know, and the possibility of college football playing a, quote, normal season.
But we've seen, Wes, like, and Carl, Notre Dame, we saw the testing that they've done on campus there as students have returned. So, I mean, there's some mechanisms in place. I mean, you could even argue you could reduce scholarships, keep guys on scholarship, but reduce the number of bodies that would be in the locker room, for instance.
Well, they've already, the ACC's cut loose an operations manual where they've done two things already in college football this year. They've extended the sidelines from the 15 to the 15, okay? So the other thing is, and the SEC has done this, I just haven't seen their manual. I've seen the ACC operations manual. You cannot dress more than 75 players per game now, home or away, in the ACC. And I'm going to guess that that's probably something that was hammered out in the spring and summer when they had these calls among the league. So I'm going to say that the SEC's probably in the same neighborhood, may not be the exact same number. So I think that certainly helps. But the reality of this is going to be, you know, again, the incorporation of the general population. There are a lot of things you can do, but really you have to see what life is going to be like. And your point about Notre Dame, Mike, is good. But also think of it like this, guys. The enrollments at these institutions, I mean, what does Texas have? 60-some thousand people. Georgia, 40-some thousand people. I mean, when you start thinking about the general population enrollment, now I know you don't interact with all 40,000 on the same day, but what's that look like in 2 weeks? That's what I'm saying. That's why a lot of people are really going to scrutinize the Big Ten and the Pac-12 if they push through with this, because did they really give themselves a chance? Or did they just go ahead and pull the plug ahead of what they thought would happen once the fall started?
Wes, tell people when your show is so that people can check it out. I know we love you on the Falcons broadcast, but your ACC show is on as well.
Yeah, Mark Packer and I do a show every morning. Starts at we resumed on June the 8th off the quarantine, and we're on 8 to 10 every morning on ACC Network. It's available on most services except for Xfinity. But we're excited. We've had a lot of great guests and a lot of coaches. We cover a lot of sports, try to talk about all 15 schools. At some point, we're going to go back to 3 hours here in the near future. But so far, it's been 8 to 10 since June. And you know, we get into some good topics. We've had some fun here during the difficult time, for sure.
Well, as always.
Appreciate you, Wes. Yeah, man. Yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah, but
Carl,
appreciate you, Wes.
Sounds like he's broadcasting with, like, Neil Armstrong and a jar of Tang somewhere.
I'm trying today. It's challenging.
More string. Right.
It's challenging.
Be well.
Hey,
guys.
Wes, thanks so much.
Anytime. All right, you know that. Call anytime.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.